The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. 11 minutes after 7, and some emails of the day here, sponsored by Central Point Family Dentistry and Dr. Steve Nelson, right next to the new Mazatlan Mexican restaurant in Central Point. By the way, they have so many positive reviews from all over our community, of many sharing their surprising experiences of how their dental visit was not like it was when they were kids. You'll be surprised, too. I'm sure your neighbors will agree. Give them a try. CentralPointFamilyDentistry.com. Email of the day, people responding to the electric tanks thing we were talking about, how the Defense Department is now looking at fossil-fueled, in other words, jet-fueled or diesel-powered generators to recharge the electric tanks on the fly, I guess, in the other military vehicles, because we're going to need this. We're going to need this rather than doing it directly. And Jim says, hey, Bill, I worked on every family of the M1 tank. I'm retired active Army. There was an M1 tank called the M1IP. It had auxiliary power units mounted on the right side rear of the tank for charging. They got rid of it because the tankers would back into things and destroy it. The biggest problem with having an electric tank is getting the power to the final drives, which drive the tracks. The current engine or power pack is an AGT 1500 turbine engine. The 1500 stands for the shaft horsepower. The turbine engine is basically basically unlimited, but has to be reduced by a reduction gearbox. Oh, the speed. Top speed is a huge problem. You can only go as fast as the tracks will allow you to stay on and not fly off, what we call throwing a track. One way you will have an electric tank is if you tow a semi-trailer behind it. It'll never happen. Been around testing of different vehicles that never were produced. Government likes to send money out for junk that never gets produced. I call that fraud, waste, and abuse. Jim, I really appreciate your writing. Eric also weighs in on this one. Eric Maddox says, hey, Bill, the U.S. Navy has been electric for years, or at least in its largest ships, but instead of the stupid battery approach, which was abandoned years ago, they use nuclear power plants. With a new miniaturization of nuclear power plants design coming out of Oregon, why not put small nukes and steam engines to generate all the electricity they want? No extenders needed. Good point, Eric. Appreciate you emailing Bill at BillMyersShow.com. And we're going to be checking in here in just a moment and digging into some other issues, too.
Nominations are open for this year's Bi-Coastal Media Best of Southern Oregon contest. Nominate and support your favorite businesses now through April 3rd at BestofSouthernOregon.com. There's nearly 200 categories to nominate all your favorite suppliers of goods and services. Whether it's medical, automotive, beauty, entertainment, food and beverage, and more, there's a category to nominate all your favorites. So visit bestofsouthernoregon.com today. Nominations close Wednesday, April 3rd at 5 p.m. This hour of the Bill Myers Show is proudly sponsored by Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros on Main Street in Phoenix.
If you're searching for a property with a well, don't make a decision without a well flow test from Siskiyou Pump Service. Well flow testing is necessary in assessing the performance and reliability of the system. Real estate lenders often require flow validation to ensure it meets their criteria. Siskiyou Pump Service, with over a half century of dedicated service in Southern Oregon, are your go-to experts for a comprehensive well flow test that provides crucial insights into capacity, yield, and functionality. Visit SiskiyouPump.com.
Your morning espresso starts right here. It's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
What do we have from Joe Biden? Oh, let me put forward a $7.3 trillion budget. Do you not realize how bad this is? That we're going to be at 150% of GDP, which is unsustainable? We can't survive as a country with numbers that bad? The U.S. national debt could quickly reach 130% of GDP, shooting well past $50 trillion. Let me tell you, it may sound good on paper if you're not part of the wealthy, but every corporation that they raise taxes on, every rich person they raise taxes on, that's less money they're going to be spending and investing that's going to benefit all of us and create jobs and goods and services at prices that we can actually afford and that we want, need, and desire.
The Sean Hannity Show from coast to coast later today.
Getting quality employees to fill positions in your company is essential, but finding those people can be a major hassle unless you use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes finding quality people a breeze. And right now, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. With ZipRecruiter, one click sends your job to hundreds of top job sites. But more than that, ZipRecruiter's advanced technology identifies the candidates with the skills you need, sends you a list of great matches to review, then actively invites them to apply for your job. And the results speak for themselves. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. That's right, the first day. Now you can focus on your business and let ZipRecruiter do the work finding the best people for you. See for yourself. Experience the ease, efficiency, and power of ZipRecruiter for free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
106.3 KMED, 99.3 KCMD. This is the Bill Myers Show.
16 after 7. Appreciate you waking up here this morning. And it's been a couple of months or so since I had the pleasure of talking with Annie Holmquist. Annie Holmquist, a great writer, and she writes on a Substack. It's Annie's Addict. I think last time I talked with you, it had to do with Charles Schulz, wasn't it, Annie? I think it had to do when you were
talking about the
great values in a Charlie Brown Christmas, and it was just really interesting. Now, Annie's Addict, do you write mostly on culture vulture and culture war kind of issues? Where do you go on that so people can find you and check
it out? I would say culture, education, family. So my Substack is Annie's Addict. I also work for a few other organizations. I write for Epoch Times and do a number of things like that.
All right. And you wrote a piece the other day. And this has to do with an education freedom or a public school freedom kind of group that is working with you in Minnesota, where you live. And we're trying to get a education freedom school choice bill or ballot measure passed in the state of Oregon. I don't think it's made the ballot or made the ballot quite yet. And maybe it will. We don't know at this point. But it is something which stirs the imagination. But you wrote a piece for that group, your group. And it had to do with graduation rates. And I'll preface this with saying one of my biggest criticisms of how we look at public schools, besides the fact that, oh, it's the yellow school bus, everything looks the same, it must be just like it was when I was a kid. It's not. All right.
Yes.
But they tend to conflate, the system tends to conflate graduation rates with academic achievement and or, you know, prowess or skills that, that kids have.
Yes.
Is that kind of what you were looking at in this latest Substack?
Yes, it was. And it's actually been interesting lately. I had mulled on this piece for several weeks, actually. And as I was writing it, more and more information kept coming out. And I was actually intrigued. The sources I was using in this were not exactly what you would call rightist sources. They were like Ed Week and The Economist, and they're kind of sounding the alarm, too, that graduation rates are flying high, looking great. You know, the kids must be doing wonderful, but what's happening is those same students are graduating from high school and headed towards college, and they're quickly disappointed because they realize they are not academically ready. And that's because it looks like grade inflation has been happening, that schools are boosting students' self-esteem, saying you're okay, just passing them through on the conveyor belt, and they're not okay.
Is there a possibility that grade inflation has been pushed by teachers who they themselves were probably, well, given inflated grades too? It's, in other words, it's something which has been a culture for a long, long time, not something just popping up right now. Have you been able to look into that any bit at all?
You know, I mean, I think that seems to be the common sense thing, that just with each generation, it would get worse. I, you know, a lot of people will say, oh, COVID. I've had that said a lot of times to me, like, of course it dropped with COVID. And I'm like, yeah, it did, probably about 5 to 10 percentage points, at least in my state. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing that would be nationwide too, similar. But, you know, the drop was happening before that. Some of the charts that I noted in here, one from The Economist especially, the average SAT score has been dropping probably since around 2010, maybe even a little earlier, 2005. And high school graduation rate has been soaring along there too. And it's interesting too, you know, people always talk about like, oh, my grandparents or whatever, they only had an eighth grade education, but they could handle so many great works of literature. They could, you know, do their math very well, all these things we look at, and we'll look at different tests from way back when, and we're like, how did they do that? I mean,
Oh, yeah. You look at some of those eighth grade graduation tests that are done,
exactly.
Or sixth grade graduation tests. They are incredibly difficult. And it was obvious
that
there are college graduates that would have difficulty dealing with some of these tests, which kind of tells you that what has been going on almost is that, I don't know if it's necessarily just a dumbing down, but almost expanding the education. The time for education, well, you expand the education job into the time allotted, and what you used to maybe do in 6 to 8 years is now taking up 12, 14, 15, 16. You know, could it be something like that that we're witnessing right now?
Yeah, I think that's part of it. And like you said earlier, just, you know, as the generations go, things get dumbed down. You know, if one generation hasn't learned something well, they're not going to teach it well to the next generation. So I think it's something we really have to look at, and it's scary too, because there's so many implications for our workforce and just society in general. I mean, we see that with our nation now. If students can't think and process facts, they're not going to be able to say, like, you know, look at our legislators and say, hey, that is wrong. That's not truth. That does not make logical sense. And it's going to affect us because we have a citizen government. And, so it's really scary.
Yeah. Annie Holmquist with me. She wrote a piece on her Substack, Annie's Attic. It's, are Minnesota's graduation rates hiding severe academic decline? And the answer, according to the research, seems to be yes, it's hiding the decline. And I can't imagine that Minnesota is all that different from Oregon, because Minnesota's kind of a blue hive mind state, right? I just want to make sure that we're talking about the same thing.
Yes. And, you know, I think for many years, I don't know if you're familiar with the old Prairie Home Companion with Garrison Keillor.
Yes.
He kind of encouraged the idea that Minnesotans were, you know, the women were strong and the children were above average. And I think people in my state, at least, have kind of believed that. But when you look behind the scenes at what they're doing, it's like, that's definitely not true. And it was interesting. I actually looked into Oregon's statistics a little bit, too. And, of course, every state has different reporting. But what I was looking at, like, in Medford, the Oregon average, well, just for the state at large, is about 40% of students are meeting grade level expectations in English language arts. And that's for grade 3.
Less than half. Less than half the kids.
Yes, less than half. And I found actually usually third graders are the ones that are doing better. You know, third, fifth grade, it starts plummeting a lot in middle school, high school. And so I was not able to find high school rates for Oregon, but I would guess those could be even worse. So, and that's a scary thing too.
So there is evidence that there's been grade inflation, and we have academic problems from the past, even going back 15, 20, 30 years. You end up having teachers from those generations then teaching the next generation, each generation being a little less capable, I guess, is really what we could be looking at this point, and it continuing dumbing down. But the graduation rates are going up. And is there any evidence, though, that the graduation rates that all of these people that are graduating from schools right now are truly capable of handling, of going to college, or even just doing the basics? Where do we find ourselves right now, Annie?
Well, that was another interesting thing. As I was looking at different articles online, they were noting that college professors are noticing this too. They said, you know, a decade or 15 years ago, I would expect students to read about 30 pages per class. Now, they were like, if I'm assigning 20 pages, students are overwhelmed by that, and they can't seem to process, you know, what the material said and everything like that. And they were saying, we have to go over basic elements of story and what's going on here. So it's clear that even the students just cannot figure out these basics. And that's interesting, too, because I remember, like, back in 2016, ACT, I believe, had put out a study. And hidden in that study was that students could not differentiate between fact and opinion. And so that was kind of an indicator that, you know, students aren't really processing. Teachers, whether they're trying to teach, who knows? I mean, there's a lot of discipline problems going on. Teachers' hands are tied. There's just so many factors today that feed into the problems in our schools. And you have to start somewhere. And it's just, it's kind of like our children are on this. It's going down in flames, really. So.
Yeah. And yet you wouldn't want to maybe try something different because teachers' unions, right? Is that kind of what we find ourselves?
It seems to be the wrench in the system that, because that's another interesting thing, too, because parents overwhelmingly, a lot of states have a running poll in them asking parents each month if they would be interested in, like, education savings accounts, which attach the education dollars to the student rather than going directly to the school. So wherever the student goes, the money follows them.
And that's what they're trying to do with the ballot measure here in Oregon. Same kind of thing. Funding follows the child. Do we know if people in private education or alternative education perform better? You know, the same type of children. Because I think you're right, though. We're looking at multiple spheres of cracks in the system. There, you know, family formation, family stability. There's certainly, you know, an issue going on there. And I have to tell you, if your parents aren't readers, chances are you're not going to be a reader. Would that be fair to say, too? And as people are getting to a point where they don't want to read anymore, they just want to watch television, that's probably not going to help your kids, too. Fair enough?
Yes. The one thing is, if you implemented things like ESAs, which many parents support, like I think there's probably about 75% of school parents support them in each state. You know, if you do that, you just open up things so much more. You have competition happening, and that, you know, increases, you know, schools want to compete for students then, and that encourages them to be better. You also open up that chance to have micro schools, which are growing in great popularity, and those are smaller schools. I think that's another issue that many American public schools have encountered in recent years is they have grown so big. And so students naturally get lost in the cracks. They, you know, don't feel seen. And so they're not going to try as hard. So
not engaging. They're not engaging, in other words, right? Okay.
So if you open up this option, you know, and make more options for students, you're going to be able to direct them into more schools, which will hopefully just, you know, rise. And just students will be more seen.
In all of your research you've been doing for these pieces, because like I said, you're part of this group which is trying to go for education freedom in Minnesota.
Yes.
Is there a call to actually lower graduation rates? And now, I know this sounds counterintuitive, all right? The point should be not to have high graduation rates, but have 30 or 40% of the kids be dummies, right? That doesn't accomplish anything. It's like, I think we would be much farther ahead right now to have 20, 30, 35% of the kids failing and not being able to graduate right now, because nothing will change until we're honest with ourselves about what they're really capable of doing in these schools.
Yes. I mean, in some ways, I would rather see a lower graduation rate so you would really understand what's going on. Because I think it masks for a lot of people. They're like, oh, I made it. I graduated. I finished. Wonderful. I must have been okay.
Yeah. And then you go to college and then you're having to take dumbbell English because you don't know.
Yeah.
You can't write. Yeah. You can't read. You're not helping anybody. Nobody's getting helped by this current situation. And you say in your Substack here, and by the way, it's called "Are Minnesota's Graduation Rates Hiding Severe Academic Decline?" One of the number one indicators that parents do when they go shopping around for school districts, they look at graduation rates, don't they? That's what they do.
Yes. Yes, exactly. And I thought, oh, well, there you go. They're looking for indicators to show them how their children can get the best education, where they can get that education. And unfortunately, when it is puffed up, like many of them seem to be, they don't have the right tools they need to know where the good schools are.
Are there any real tools that can help parents right now and be honest about it?
Well, I know, like, in my state, actually, I would give kudos to the Minnesota Department of Education. They have a very good reporting system. Yes, it's difficult to find, but once you do know it, you can go in pretty much grade by grade and see how students are doing. And that's one thing that we're trying to do is actually sound the alarm and say, hey, look at these scores. These are from our official Department of Education. They're not good. You know, are you satisfied with your child going to the school that's, you know, maybe 40% of the kids are proficient in reading? That's not great.
Yeah. And the fact that there's a school there's a public school, like I said, systems here in Southern Oregon, 40% of the third graders are reading and 60% are not. You would think that there would be a little more alarm, I guess, when you read a stat like that. You think now I know that some will say, yeah, you're probably talking about the English learners or English as a second language people, you know, a lot of immigrant children, you know, that sort of thing. That's I think the usual thing that they'll use to try to explain it away. But even then still, 60% not doing it. And, you know, and if you're not reading in third grade, the odds are you're not going to be reading in fifth grade, sixth grade, and then you're not going to be a lifelong reader and you're not going to be able to make it in many ways.
Yeah. Well, even if you just want to look at math, I did see that Oregon has grade 8 mathematics. And the Oregon average is only 26% are proficient in mathematics. So, you know, you don't even necessarily have to have, you know, a good grasp of English to do math. And only a quarter of kids are achieving there. So,
well, if you only have a quarter of your children being proficient in mathematics, then that's going to be a society that's going to be, government will have no problem bamboozling you with numbers because you'll essentially be an enumerate population, right? Oh, okay. We can do everything with healthcare for free. There's money everywhere.
Yeah. <You know>? Exactly. Okay, that another trillion or more.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Annie, I appreciate your work on this one because you put something out there that I've been wondering for a long time. I've been saying for years, it's like, okay, the graduation rate's high. So,
yeah.
You know, it's been essentially it's been juiced is what you're saying. It's what the stats are looking like.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, and where can you find this on? You just have to look up Annie's Addict on Substack, or do you have this elsewhere too?
Yes. On Annie's Addict on Substack. And I work for oakmn.org, which is Opportunity for All Kids. You can find it there as well.
All right. Well, best of luck on getting things improved in Oregon, Minnesota, rather. Oregon, of course, has been struggling with low school ratings for a long, long time. We've well known it. But we're always told all we have to do is send more money. Do they say the same thing in Minnesota?
Yes. And, you know, a lot of times most of our schools are spending $18,000 to $23,000 per kid. So at some point you go, clearly the money is not working.
Annie Holmquist, we appreciate your take. Thanks for being on. We'll have you back. Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye now. 734 at KMED, KCMD. Interesting story there.
One of each Forte VIN, 731586, MSRP 21710, 3500 due, Sportage VIN, 185367, MSRP 3590, 4499 due, 10K miles per year, zero security deposit, all incentives and discounts to dealer plus tax, title, license, 150 registration, processing fee. Trading in a vehicle will not eliminate your debt. Negative equity applied to new loan balance ends 3/31/24.
Making payments on a car you don't want to drive anymore? You need Kia Medford's Payment Wipeout. We're wiping out all the payments you have left on your old car so you can drive a new Kia, like a new 2024 Kia Forte LXS Automatic. Just $149 a month lease. Or a new 2024 Kia Sportage LX. Only $199 a month lease. Both for 24 months. Plus, once we make a deal at Kia Medford, we'll pay off your trade no matter how much you owe. Need credit? Go to KiaMedford.com to get pre-approved in less than 30 seconds. With no effect on your credit score. Get into a new Kia. Like Fortes, $149 a month. Sportages, $199 a month. During the payment wipeout at Kia Medford. Click KiaMedford.com.
Hurley's Tax Service has the experience to complete your taxes the way you're most comfortable with. By mail, secure email, phone, Zoom, or in person. Just call Hurley's Tax at 774-1040. What an easy number. 774-1040.
Nominations are open for this year's Bi-Coastal Media Best of Southern Oregon contest. Nominate and support your favorite businesses now through April 3rd at bestofsouthernoregon.com. There's nearly 200 categories to nominate all your favorite suppliers of goods and services. Whether it's activities and entertainment, business services, home and garden, shopping and more, there's a category to nominate all of your favorites. So visit bestofsouthernoregon.com today. Nominations close Wednesday, April 3rd at 5 p.m.
The Bill Meyer Show, 106.3 KMED, 99.3 KCMD.
We have open phones for the rest of this hour. We have good conversation as always on Friday. Find your phone Friday, 770-5633. One question I would toss out at you, and I was talking with Annie Holmquist a moment ago, a blogger on Substack, and she contributes to Epic Times and a bunch of other publications. And this has to do that... And the theory, and it's looking like it's panning out, that high graduation rates are covering up for academic decline because parents will take a look. Well, you know, the school district, they have high graduation rates. Well, must be everything was okay. And ends up not really being the case. So would you prefer an honest graduation rate in which there are actually high standards and then you either pass or you fail? Or would you rather have the ability for Southern Oregon parents just to go to sleep and send their kids off to government daycare every day and just thinking, well, I pay my taxes and it's now up to the schools. It's their problem. I don't want to know. I don't want to know. We could talk because that's really essentially where we find ourselves right now. Remember I said that everybody says that their local schools are good. Their local schools. Yeah, we know that government schools are having a problem in general, but my local school is good. I imagine even in Ashland, you know, they'll probably say, and yet Ashland's certainly a higher quality school in many ways, but higher quality and woke to the core. Anyway, what's on your mind? Let's talk with Deb. Hello, Deb. What's on your mind today?
Hello, yeah, Deb. Bill, my name's Debbie, and I'm calling. I, first of all, want to thank everybody in Grant's staff at Gilson County Republican Office. They're amazing, and we are just blessed to have them.
Oh, great.
My question is it true that the Jackson County Republican Office is closing? I called there yesterday. That's what I was told.
Okay, this is what I know. I'm just telling you secondhand because I'm not in the party, structure. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. There have been some reform attempts, and I believe that the current regime at the Jackson County Republican Party. Yep, the plan was to close the party or to close the party offices and move. To a better website. I think they're looking to create more of an online presence of some sort. But yeah, they were going to close that office downtown. And by the way, the office downtown has been problematic from time to time because, frankly, you got a bunch of dirtbaggy people and a lot of vandalism problems, as you've heard in there. Now, the thing is, though, here we are in a election cycle, and you have the Republican Party that is trying to change some stuff around. And so I'm told that a bunch of people got hot and bothered about it, and I know that the Jackson County Republicans, yep, they have backed out of that lease, and they're going to close it. Now,
oh wow!
Now this is what I found out yesterday too. Okay, and I know you can see an interesting thing. The Jackson County Republican women got together, a separate group. They're going to keep that open. I'm told through sources that they're going to keep that open through the end of the year. And if they end up getting a new clubhouse someplace, somewhere else, that's fine. But the Jackson County Republican women, pretty well organized, and they were pretty hot over this one, thinking that it didn't sound like a great idea in an election cycle, especially a general election cycle, to close the clubhouse and do all these other things and cause all sorts of drama and confusion in it. I'm told that they're going to keep it open, I think, through the end of this year, and then maybe there's a different place that they move to. So that's that.
Okay. Well, that is wonderful news. I can't wait to meet them. I'm going to jump in with both feet. We moved from Josephine to Jackson, and I'm so excited to meet them, and I hope everybody else in Jackson County gets involved and we can raise the bar and kick as much butt as Josephine County's doing.
Okay, well, I just wanted you to understand, though, that there's probably going to be a lot of yelling about this over there. I would imagine that the current milieu of the Republican Party is not happy about this development because they wanted it to go away. And I think it has to do with saving money and putting money into different things. They're trying to do better outreach, I guess. But a lot of people want a bricks and mortar location, too. So that's where we find ourselves at the moment. I'm just telling you what I've heard. This is only what I've heard. I am not in it. If anybody is inside and wants to go and squeal on it more than I have already, you go ahead and call me, okay? And thanks, Deb.
Okay, right on. I appreciate you. Take care.
All right. Yeah, so it's essentially the Jackson County Republican Women's Group just said, no, they're not. And then I don't know how this is going to play out there. We're going to have the women fighting the men's. And something tell me the women's going to win this argument. I could be wrong, but we'll see. Hi, KMED, KCMD. Good morning. Who's this? Welcome.
Joel from the Iron Gate.
Hi, Joel. What's going on?
Well, first of all, I think Chuck Schumer should resign and is not indicted. Remember all back when...
Oh, you're talking about the calling for new elections in Israel?
Exactly.
Oh, okay. Hey, could you check out... Now, the one thing I'm kind of wondering, though, is maybe it's his perfect right to do so. And the reason I'm bringing this up is that, is he dual citizen? Is he an Israeli U.S. citizen? And many in Congress are. And there are some in Congress.
But you think they'd wait until, I don't know, there's a bigger consensus. He seems to be the only one saying that.
Yeah. By the way, I'm not a fan of Chuck Schumer. Don't take this. But I'm just wondering if he's an Israeli citizen. I suppose he can pretty much say what he wants about Israeli elections.
Yeah, I didn't realize he was an Israeli citizen.
No, I don't know if he is. Maybe I'll look that up because
I know he's Jewish.
Yeah, I know, but there are many Jewish people in Congress who are dual citizens. They're citizens both of Israel and the United States of America.
Right.
Yeah. Look, you're going to make me look that up. I was kind of wondering. Everyone's yelling about that. Well, maybe he has the right to say that. I'm not saying it's a good plan as a U.S. senator, but who knows? Let me go to line three. Hi, KMED, KCMD. Good morning. Who's this?
This is Minor Dave. I don't believe he is a citizen.
A dual citizen?
I know that Mark Levin isn't. And you should listen to what he says about Chucky Schumer. He calls him a fake Jew, only Jewish by birth, not by.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I can't handle Mark. Mark, my blood pressure is high enough just with the stuff we're doing in Oregon. And but you know what I can do? I could tell you something. Get off my phone, you big dope.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Get off my phone. Get off my phone. All right. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Anyway, just a thought.
All right. Thanks for the call. Line two, you're on. Hi, KMED, KCMD. Good morning. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Good morning, Bill. It's Francine.
Hi, Francine.
Hi. So listen, I'm going to ask you to give me a minute if you could, because I have this thought, this idea, and I'm going to preface it by saying I'm not asking you to have to handle this. I think it's a really good idea that maybe we can get a volunteer, and I would volunteer fully, but I'll still volunteer to help because my skills are really outdated for this. But here's what I would like to suggest.
Okay, what's that?
How many hundreds of, what do you have, 200, 300, 400 kind of steady listeners, do you think?
Oh, we get more of that.
Okay, but a lot of people just listen and they don't, okay.
You only have maybe 1%, less than 1% of your listenership will ever call the show.
Okay. All right. Well, here's the thing. You have some really good information and some dynamite interviews with so much facts and so much, there's so much stuff people need to hear.
Okay.
But it's kind of hard to find them. Okay? Like, what date was that so-and-so was on? Gosh, I can't remember. Which time frame was he in? That kind of thing. What I would like to suggest is that you have we construct something like all of Bill Simpson's, all of his interviews concerning the Klamath Dams, all like in one area where we can say, well, you want to learn about the dams, go here and send an email with the link, that kind of thing. I think if we set something like that up, we could educate people like about this bill, the vote no, because they're trying to, put five people on the commissioner's board, things like that. People need the information, but it's really hard to focus on it and to find it. You know, a lot of people don't bother. It just gets, they just don't.
Okay, I'm gonna interject right there. That is the operative phrase. Most people will not bother.
I know, but
you know, but yeah, and see, this is the spoon feeding irritation that I've had with you know, supposedly a free people for quite some time. All right.
I
will give you an example where someone will ask me, will send me, hey, do you have the address for such and such or who and who and this and that? And who was that person you talked to and this and that and the other? And they're not even doing the basic web search. And it seeming to be incapable of even doing a basic web search, Francine. Okay?
I understand.
And if you can't even do a basic web search to find the address, let's say, for your state representative or your Congress critter or anything else, what's the point of having a clearinghouse that you're not going to search in the first place? You know, you're talking about wanting people have to be hungry for it and have to be able to. Well, you know, maybe this is an example of what happens when you have a society in which 90% of the people graduate, but they don't know anything. I don't know.
All right, you're missing my point. It's not about, you know, being kind of annoyed with people for not going out of their way to find stuff.
No, you're asking me to make them even easier to find stuff, but yet they're not willing to find the stuff that's already up there right now. They won't look.
Sometimes it's just not possible for people to put that together. But they're older, they're not skilled with it. But they're voters, and they need the information. And if we can make it so that you can send out a bunch of links, a few links to people where they can find all the information and go, oh my gosh, I didn't know that, because they can hear all of what Bill Simpson has to say about the dam, mm-hmm. instead of just seeing one little thing. It's not a matter of whether, oh gosh, we shouldn't cater to these idiots.
I know what your point is. I know what your point is. Everything you talk about with a web search can be found.
Not that easy, though. And a lot of times you do a search, people still using Google, forget about it. You know?
I'm not going to help. I can't help people that can't do a web search, though.
I'm not asking you to help. I'm just asking you to let some people, you could talk to, you know, totally vet people, somebody, and we can find somebody who's willing to do the work. Would you allow a little section like that on the website to help, especially like during an election, put this information up there for people?
I don't know. In
an easy format.
Think about it, please.
Listen, the Democrats strategy.
What's stopping you from building your website right now?
Because my skills are about 30 years out of date. I can't.
Okay, all right. But you're, all right, fine. I'll keep it open there, but there's nothing stopping anybody from doing that right now. Francine,
I'm putting this out, and I would like somebody to get in touch with me if they have the skills.
All right. Do you have email, or do you expect someone to write you snail mail?
I have email, yeah.
Good.
You want me to give it on air, or should they contact you? I don't know what's really appropriate.
I do not want to be responsible for feeding you emails. So what's your email address?
It's FLOW at artonsite, ArtOnS. As in Sam, ITE, .com.
All right. Good going. Appreciate the call. Like I said, there's a part of me, though, Francine, that I have tired of trying to come up with a system to spoon feed.
I know, Bill, but the thing is, people still need help. And why give up because you're worried?
Yeah, if you're not listening, if you're not getting engaged here, you know, I can't make you pay attention.
I'm not talking about you.
All right. And there's, you know, at some point you're going to have to turn off Fox News and turn off Newsmax or something else and pay attention to something other than the national election. Okay.
Sometimes people need their hand held and you lead them to the right place. They may actually pay attention and it could make a difference.
All right. Appreciate the call. Yeah, I'm talking about as someone who's been doing this for 20-something years. This is the Bill Meyer Show. If you're on hold, I'll get right back to you, and then we can yell some more.
Two Dogs Fabricating knows trailers. They sell trailers and repair trailers. So if you'd like your trailer inspected, bring it to the dogs, and they'll sniff it out. Two Dogs will check the axles, hitch, tongue, lights, bed, brakes, and more to make sure your trailer's roadworthy. Most trailers on the road are fine, but it's good to have it checked out once a year. They'll scrutinize crucial welds for corrosion and cracks, too. And if you need any repairs, you'll get a quick, reasonable estimate. Two Dogs Fabricating on Bryan Way, off Sage in Medford.
When John and Dan Drake purchased Drake's Paint in 2005 from their fathers, all the Benjamin Moore paint and inventory came with it, of course. But the most valuable part of the transaction was the name handed down from their great-great-grandfather. The Drakes have been painters for generations, and they've built their reputation with integrity, respect, love, and hard work. Those qualities are alive today at your only locally owned paint store in Medford and Grants Pass. Drake's Paint and Supply, featuring America's best paint, Benjamin Moore.
KMED, KCMD News, sponsored by Millett Construction, specializing in foundation repair and replacement. Get on solid ground by visiting MillettConstruction.com.
Good morning, I'm Natalie Cerna with your NBC5 Morning News Update. A new program is launching this month to help low and moderate income households still recovering from the 2020 wildfires like the Alameda Fire. Oregon Housing and Community Services says the Homeowner Assistance and Reconstruction Program will offer qualifying homeowners help repairing, rebuilding, or replacing their homes impacted by the 2020 wildfires. OHCS's Alex Campbell says they are happy to launch the first phase of this project on March 25th. Campbell says those who don't qualify during this first phase of applications may qualify in later phases as long as funding is still available. Southern Jackson County State Representative Pam Marsh, who oversees much of the area lost during the Alameda Fire, says she's happy to see help coming to the most vulnerable people in her district. Applications for the project opened March 25th. OHCS says after that, staff will reach out to qualifying individuals in the following weeks to go through the next steps. You can find out more about the program on the OHCS website. And the Oregon Shakespeare Festival is announcing a new sponsor this season. OSF announced yesterday Lithia and Driveway is its official sponsor for the 2024 season. OSF says there hasn't been a season sponsor since 2019. Chief Development Officer for OSF, Camila Long, says this comes at a time when the arts are in critical need of support. That's a look at your morning headlines for NBC5 News. I'm Natalie Cerna.
This hour of The Bill Meyer Show is proudly sponsored by Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros and Full Service Auto Repair.
Hi, it's Jason at Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros. Now through April, purchase one of three styles of General G-Max High or Ultra High performance tires for your modern muscle car, sports car, or sporty coupe or sedan and get a Visa reward card in the mail. Or purchase four Ultimax tires for your passenger car or crossover and get $60 Visa reward card. The Ultimax is an all-season touring tire built for long-lasting, year-round use. Save on General Tires for any of your cars you drive at Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros.
It's Hip Hop Easter at Prestige Senior Living Arbor Place. Wear your best 80s hip hop outfit and join us on Friday, March 29 from 2 to 3:30 for early Easter fun. Kids will enjoy an Easter egg hunt throughout the community. We'll have snacks and refreshments and prizes for best dressed. You'll also be able to tour our community and learn more about life at Prestige Senior Living Arbor Place. To learn more, visit prestigecare.com/arborplace. That's prestigecare.com/arborplace.
If you're remodeling your house, start with the foundation. Millett Construction offers a no-pressure, thorough inspection of your home's foundation and a no-obligation estimate if your house needs work. The foundation is most important because all of the repairs and upgrades you're planning, from the floors, windows, doors, cabinets, even the roof, can be affected if your foundation is unstable. Be sure you're on solid ground. Millett Construction will level your house and correct the shifting soil problem. Visit MillettConstruction.com.
Hi, I'm Dwayne Barkley with American Rental Garage, and I'm on KMED and KCMD.
7:54, listeners unchained as we go to open phones on Find Your Phone Friday. Matt's in Grants Pass. Hello, Matt. How you doing?
I'm doing good, Bill. Hey, listen, from now on, I'm going to need you to call me when I have a conspiracy theory or I want to make a comment. I want to do excellent interviews.
Uh-huh.
And then if you could, after you call me at home, I'm going to need you to go ahead and send me a follow-up email. And if there's a chance, I'll need you to stop by. If you could just drive up to my house every afternoon and give me a breakdown of what you discussed on the show that day, that would be fantastic. Because I just got too much going on, and I just can't be looking stuff up on the website. Would that be okay with you?
Sure. I'll get right with it. I'll pass your email address along, okay?
Yeah. I appreciate that. Hey, and on another point.
Yes. okay. All right. I know you're messing with me, but please continue, okay?
On Mark Levin, first of all, I love that he calls that area of Michigan Dearbornistan.
Oh, yeah.
And
it
is. He said, this is my conspiracy, even though I know I'm a day late on this. Look, Schumer's not going to not win that seat, so he'd come out and blather anything he wants to.
And by the way, he's not a dual Israeli-American citizen. Found that out. Thank you, Ed.
But the thing is, he's only coming out to say this for one reason. They're trying to get the Dearbornistan vote. That's all he's doing.
They're very concerned about that. Dearbornistan is really wobbling right now.
Yeah, he's not going to. He knows there's not going to be an election because there's huge support. If you look at the polling, there's huge support, even from left wing, as Mark says, self-hating Jews who are saying, no, we need to resolve this now so we don't have a bunch of our men, women, and children murdered, burned, stabbed, raped. We can't do this anymore. And Schumer knows that this election thing isn't going to happen. He's just trying to get these votes. It's the only reason he said it.
All right. Point well taken. Thank you for that. Right. And I will send some emails and links to you a little later, okay?
I appreciate that. Thank you, sir.
All right. Be well. It's 7:57. Let me go to line two. Hi, KMED, KCMD. And this would be Gene. Hello, Gene.
Hey, how are you doing?
Fine.
Yeah, I was just calling to say, how did we used to do things before computers came out? Because I can remember voting the first few couple of years I voted. There were no computers. I seemed to get it done even back then. And our forefathers, how did they have a revolutionary war and win it without computers?
Well, you have to understand how they voted back in those days then, because, you know, let's say even going back, you know, 50, 60 years ago, everybody knew that the way that you got the best count was that you gathered all of your votes and then you mailed them off to Portland. And then Portland will send them back to us at some point, you know, so that we can count them. Oh, wait a minute. That's only happened recently. Oh, never mind. Gene, forget I said anything, okay? Let me go. Let me go to John. Hello, John. How are you doing? Welcome.
Hi, Bill. Hi, Bill. Hey, I'm glad to know I have made it into the top 1% of your listeners. That's encouraging.
Well, thank you very much. But a lot of people don't realize that way more people will never, ever, ever call the show. And I always encourage people to do that. I love new callers. It's great to hear you.
Yeah. Well, I probably call in once a year. But I got some food for thought on the whole county thing with Josephine and Jackson. You know, a couple of years ago when COVID blew through, you know, I was kind of sitting back and thinking, oh, you know, we got this county charter. It's going to protect us because Josephine's got a wonderful charter, very, very adamant support for Second Amendment, you know, very anti-forced vaccine. But the county, I mean, you know, God bless the county, but the state and the Fed, they just rolled over everybody here. That charter provided no protection for anyone here as far as anything related to the Second Amendment, anything related to vaccine. So I'm very opposed to what's going on with the charter, but I think people have to remember that, you know, if you want your freedom, you gotta take it. And as a friend reminded me, free men don't ask permission. So I'm curious to what your thoughts are on that too.
Well, I will certainly agree with you that free people shouldn't be having to ask for permission. I was reminded of this the other day, that a country that can arrest you for fishing without a license, and yet at the same time, you know, people just walk in, you know, illegal aliens just walk in and just have their way with the social welfare system, and nothing gets done about that. You realize that there's a problem, you know, in the system, you know, there. The issues that I had with the county charters is the legal definition of the relationship of the county to the state. Because most of what we're dealing with, as you talked about the COVID rollover, was based on the administrative power of the state agency. All of our counties down here are defined first in their definition as agencies of the state. And if you've studied anything about the law, anything in a legal document, what's first important is number one. What's second importance is number two, number three, right, and so on, that kind of thing. Well, we were convinced somehow back in the 1970s to put in charters that still defined these small counties as agencies of the state first. which means that when you have tyrannical agencies of the state, it's much more difficult for the counties to rebel or fight or resist their intrusions here. Multnomah County, on the other hand, is designed and defined first off as a body politic. The people, the body politic, when you hear the term body politic, and it's we the people. That's the change that needed to be done in the charters in Jackson and Josephine County. Not going to five county commissioners elected by districts and reducing pay and all the rest of this and going for more democracy.
Not gut it like what's trying to be done?
Essentially, what both Jackson County for All and the Citizens for Responsible Government in 17-116 in Josephine County, it is a gut and stuff of the county charters. It's just, it's not a good idea.
Yeah, and it's like, okay, they got 90% of the state. Why are we so important? But there's obviously more than meets the eye, apparently.
Yeah, well, because
they want all the toys.
Because they want all the toys. And yeah. Democrats are very upset that their communist ideas aren't very popular here. And so they need to break it down. It's an attack. Gut and stuff. Stack the court. It's a minute after 8. Hello, Logan. Go ahead.
Hey, Bill. I think I was your first call ever from the Philippines, correct?
I think so, yeah.
Now I'm your first call ever from the Rogue Valley Psych Ward.
Really?
Have you got one for the Psych Ward before?
No. Are you in the Psych Ward?
Yeah.
You're in 2 North? Really?
They're going to put me upstairs later today, yeah.
What happened?
A couple pastors of the churches get bear false witness, Mountain Christian Fellowship and a new church called Family Christian Ministries, just told a bunch of lies about me to get me thrown in jail. But it's all going to be acquitted or dismissed. That said, the purpose of my call is to let you know that there's already a website Francine's talking about. It's called Making Medford Great Again. It's a Facebook page. It's not a website. And it's not like Trump's page where it's Make America Great Again, because make is a verb. So we need to say Making Medford Great Again, because just like it's a verb, just like love. Love is a verb. It's not a word.
Uh-huh. And so you want it to be making rather than just make. All right. Logan, all the best with you. But yeah, this is Okay, no, I don't. I'm done. I don't have any time right now. But you're right. This is the first time I've ever received a call from 2 North, and good luck on that. It's 3 after 8.
Do you have an electrical checklist at your house that needs to be completed? Call Completed Electric Plus. Need a dimmer switch installed? Completed. Fan installation? Completed. Breaker problem? Completed. New plug by your favorite chair? Completed. Electrical jobs around the house get completed quickly, expertly, and affordably with licensed techs from Completed Electric Plus. Specializing in residential electric jobs, call Completed Electric Plus and check those jobs off your list. Visit them at CompletedElectricPlus.com.
Levon here from Orley Stoves and Spas. Are you tired of those huge heating bills? Just to stay warm and comfortable in your own home? Then now is the time for a new wood, gas, or pellet stove from Orley Stoves and Spas. Orley's has Southern Oregon's largest inventory with over 400 stoves in stock now. Never be cold again. And for a limited time, receive a 30% tax credit on qualifying wood or pellet stoves and installation. Are you ready for a relaxing spring and summer enjoying your new pool, swim spa, or hot tub? Then Orleys has everything you need. We are fully stocked on splash around above ground pools and accessories. Orleys is Southern Oregon's largest cow spa dealer with over 55 spas and swim spas in stock now, as well as the shortest lead time of any dealer in the valley on any special order. Don't forget to ask us about our easy financing. Orleys Soaps and Spas at the corner of Delta Waters and Crater Lake Highway, Medford, 541-779-5340.
Well, you know it's Orleys Stove and Spas we both recommend.
Now I told you where, let us tell you why, you ought to stop and see our friend.
Millett Construction has been a general contractor for 40 years. For the last 20 years, they've specialized in foundation repair and replacement. If you have sloping floors, cracks in walls, and windows and doors that are hard to open, you have a foundation problem that's only getting worse. At Millett Construction, they not only fix your foundation and level your house, they solve the water problem that's causing the damage. Get on solid ground. Call Millett Construction for a free estimate. Visit MillettConstruction.com. CCB number 32787.
This is Bill Meyer. Appreciate you waking up mornings with me 6 to 9 on KMED and KCMD. But I get it. Life can be busy. Sometimes you might miss a show or segment or what did that guest say again? And that's when you can catch up and stay current with my podcast. The last 3 months of shows are available for free download and sharing on KMED.com. Podcasts are sponsored by Clouser Drilling, and they're online at ClouserDrilling.com. And thanks to Clouser, you can drill into what really happened on The Bill Myers Show on KMED.com.
The Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMET and 99.3 KCMD.
Interesting morning. 770-5633, 770-KMED. This is KMED, KMED HD1, Eagle Point, Bedford, KCMD Grants Pass at 99.3 FM, and translator K294 AS Ashland. And we have Chris in Medford. Hello, Chris. Welcome.
Hello. Well, first, I want to say that looking for information about, you know, what's going on, well, with the party in particular, in my case, I wanted to get involved with the Republican Party. I feel like we're not doing enough. We need to be getting the vote out. We need to be doing legal ballot harvesting. I know that Republicans are against it, but we've got to fight the fight that's in front of us.
Agreed. You have to fight the war with the battlefield that you have. That is the battlefield right now, ballot harvesting.
Yes, exactly. And it's legal, and I want to, and I'm trying to figure out how to do it. But the research is really not that hard. That being said, traffic circles. I will personally give a traffic circle class to anyone that wants to take it. If everybody did the speed limit in a traffic circle, and you use your turn signal when you leave the traffic circle, they work. What happens is people speed, or they don't have a turn signal on, so you don't know that they're not going to, that they're going to turn there.
And by the way, Chris, that is the law, the actual law. If, you know, rather than red light cameras, I'll tell you, I think that City of Medford and various other places could probably pop a lot more people just on never using their turn signal to leave the roundabout. Yeah.
Yeah, because if you turn on your traffic, if you turn on your turn signal, then the person in the other lane knows that you're turning out and they can go.
Right.
And it just is, I have to use one every day. It works well most of the time. Most of the people that that are there are commuters and they use it every day. But then you get somebody that's never been in one or they're super cautious and they've got six cars piled up behind them because they're afraid to go into the traffic circle. And then you're yelling in your car at somebody that can't hear you.
That's true. You know, there's one roundabout that confuses me a bit here. You know the roundabout that they have at the Aquatic Warehouse, Rogue X?
I do not. I've never been out that way. And I've lived here for my whole childhood. I've lived here for now another 9 years.
That's okay. That's going to be that. That's the hot new piece of real estate, though, with the Aquatic Warehouse, Rogue X, where everybody can go swimming. So if you're in Southeast Medford, just drive all the way diagonally across town and you'll get to it. But they have, it's Highway 238, technically. And so you're going down 238. You got the roundabout. It is straight in to the roundabout, and it is straight out of the roundabout. It's not really a right turn, you know, to get out of it. And I'm kind of curious if that's by design or, you know,
is it just
it feels really weird to turn to put the right turn signal on when essentially you're just leaning off to the right slightly because it's really a straight through. It's almost like a four-way. It's like a four-way roundabout. One of the roundabouts coming out of the Aquatic Warehouse, and the other one to the 180 degrees opposite of that is coming out of the housing development there. That would be a turn, but it's really weird to put on the turn signal to go straight. See what I'm getting at?
But understand that the person that is trying to enter the roundabout on that other lane is looking to see if they have time. Mm-hmm. If you're coming and they don't know if you're going to keep coming, if you're going to go down their way or whatever the case may be, it's that signal that lets the person know. Now I'm a cautious driver. I've never had a moving violation. I'm 59 years old.
Okay. And you're fun at a party too, right? Yeah.
No, I'm a blast at a party.
Oh no, I'm just saying though, if you're willing to put on roundabout classes, I don't know. Hey, join my roundabout class. I'm having fun with you, Chris. You know that. I'm just having fun.
Yes.
All right.
But no, it's a matter of effort and a matter of educating yourself. I have this conversation with people I work with all the time. Where do you get your news? Well, I don't listen to the news. Okay, so you're not getting news.
Yeah, they don't listen to the news. They don't read the news. People aren't reading any longer. You know, it's an odd time. And so, I don't know, maybe the destruction of, as much as I dislike the mainstream media in many ways, maybe the destruction of all of that is just making sure that people just don't know at all. And so, well, we're just going to get what somebody bleats on TikTok. I don't know if that's real effective.
No. Podcast. I listen to podcasts. That's how I know. Well, that's opinion. That's not news.
Excellent point. Thanks for making it too, Chris. 770-5633. Well, we're going to continue with opinion because, hey, I have an opinion. Bet you have an opinion too. Mark Hutto is going to join me here in a couple of minutes. And it was showing to me. You know, all those people that were doing these big lockdowns that wanted everybody arrested here in Southern Oregon that kept their stores open or wouldn't put on the mask or didn't get the jab and they just wanted to do all this. What are these people up to now? Mark tells me they're on the Nextdoor app. And so we'll have a little conversation about that coming up. I think you'll enjoy this.
Here at American Rancher Garage, we respect and support those individuals who currently or have previously served this great country and our local communities. As a small token of our respect and appreciation for their service, we extend our Heroes discount to all active or veteran military personnel and to our active or retired first responders. There is no way to completely repay your dedication to the protection of our country and communities, but we will do what we can.
Are you ready for spring? Grange Co-op is looking forward to summer weather, and now is the ideal time to gather all the supplies needed. Score the products you'll need at great prices now through March 17th during our annual spring roundup sale. Like buy three, get one free on G&B Eden Valley Garden Soil or spend $9.99 on 4-pound organic fertilizer. Spoil your pooch with buy one, get one free on Signature Dog Treats and 25% off pet beds and blankets. Plus, you won't want to miss our Chick Day, March 16th at Grange Co-op. Take home 5 free chicks per family when you purchase any 40 or 50-pound bag of Rogue or Purina poultry feed. That's right. You'll get 5 free chicks with the purchase of any 40 to 50-pound bag of Rogue or Purina poultry feed, all while supplies last. Visit GrangeCoop.com for all the products you'll need for spring and see our latest promotion and spring sales.
KMED and KCMD Morning Weather, sponsored by Advanced Air and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to deliver intelligent heating and cooling solutions and award-winning service. Visit MyAdvancedAir.com.
I'm meteorologist Bobby J for NBC5. Chilly start for this Friday morning, but again, another warm day. High of 72. We'll drop to 35 tonight, 74 on Saturday. St. Patrick's Day, sunny with a high of 73. We're staying into the 70s into the start of next week.
Thirteen after eight. I just wanted to get Electric Steve's theme up here. Everyone's going to have a theme by the time we're done here, Steve. How you doing this morning, huh?
Good, Bill. Bill, hey, first off, thank you very much for what you do.
Oh, thank you.
You're kind of a shining light in the darkness. But I'm calling in regards to Francine's point, and I commend her for her effort and her passion. And but during COVID, I kind of realize that, you know, you can believe anything you want and you can read anything you want, but I think the information that we're getting fed, especially through the interweb, is that it's tailored. And the globalists want us to see what they want to see. And I came to the realization that I'm going to believe, you know, I'll read things and I'll see things and I'll listen to things. But if I don't see it with my own two eyes, I'm not going to believe it. I mean, we had there was a thing on NPR and my brother calls me, says, hey, you better go get tested. The station's backing up around the block. I drove down to Fred Meyer's in Medford and I went and I photographed it and I showed him and, you know, the National Guard, you can't film here. And so, you know, it's what you see with your eyes is what you got to believe and you got to trust your heart. And honestly, I think the only thing that's going to help us now is praying. I hate to say it, but I mean, I love to say it actually, but I think that's kind of the truth. And I think it's where we're at.
I do agree with you that between social media, which is highly, if it's not being censored outright, is being certainly twisted and managed. We are being managed, and I will agree with you that 90% of the time, my first response to a story that I hear is, that's BS, right?
Yeah.
Or if this isn't BS, I need to find out a little bit more about it. So much of it is about managing us and feeding us what we want, maybe. I don't know. I don't know if it's about keeping us divided or if it's trying to keep us on the plantation for the time being.
I think it's both.
Yeah. Yeah, it could be right. Yeah, it could be both. It couldn't be not necessarily one or the other. Interesting call, Steve. Thanks for making that. Good morning. Hi, who's this?
Hey, good morning, Bill. This is Darren.
Hi, Darren.
Sorry, I'm just getting in my truck to go to work, but I'm a member of the Jackson County Republican Party. I'm a PCP and was at the Central Committee meeting where some of the conflict about keeping the office open came up, and so I just wanted to, I don't know, clear...
You clear up some of this. Now, did I report it correctly? What I heard was that the Republican women voted yesterday or the other day that they're going to keep it open and they're going to pay for it, right? And then what happens afterwards, you know, who knows? Is that something
right.
Okay. Is that true?
Well, I'm obviously not a Republican woman, so I can't speak to their efforts.
Well, I heard it from a Republican woman, so yeah, I'm going to take that as a pretty serious yes that they did that, okay?
And if I had to guess, some of the people that really, really wanted to keep it open, some of the members of the Central Committee, were women. I think that's a group of fantastic people that have been doing a huge amount for the Republican Party for years. And so I personally respect all of that and hope they get to do that. As the Jackson County Republican Party, though, we wanted to direct our efforts. We have limited resources, and we wanted to better direct our resources to things we felt would make a bigger difference in the upcoming election. And so that was the decision we made months ago. It finally was revisited at the last meeting, but I mean, really, the decision was voted on.
I guess what I was going to talk about here, what was your name again? Your first name?
Darren.
Oh, Darren. Oh, yeah, Darren. I guess. I certainly understand wanting to have a good web presence and wanting to do that. I get that, and I would be totally supportive of it. My question would be, do you shut it down and go kind of dark on your website and do things when you're in the election season, or should it not have been done perhaps after November?
Well, yeah, clearly that was a lot of discussion happened around that specific point.
Yeah.
And we're more than just a web presence. What we've really been developing part of it is a web presence, but also part of it is a digital marketing campaign.
Mm-hmm.
With the money, we'll take, for instance, it was costing us about $2,000 a month to keep that office open. We can reach about 40,000 people who haven't opted in the text messaging that are identified Republican voters for that same $2,000.
Good point.
So that's what we're looking at. Would I love to have $4,000 to do both? Yes, I would. Would I love that the Republicans in Jackson County gave enormous amounts of money so that we could do everything we could to win this election? Absolutely. I personally give, but we have a lot of Republicans that aren't participating financially.
In other words, they're cheap.
This is where we're
at. Darren, this is a complaint I've made for a long time. Yeah, cheap.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I know people that will donate money to all sorts of causes, and I say, have you donated to a candidate? Oh, I would never do that. I would never do that, right? You know, and it's just,
right.
And then you wonder why you're not finding the right people running for offices sometime.
Right. And so part of our online effort is also to address a little bit of what Francine is talking about. We want to become an option for finding that kind of information.
And excellent.
We're looking. Yeah, we want people to come to our Jackson County Republican website and find trusted news, find things that they're not finding elsewhere, be able to publish things. We're going to be looking for people for content. Content is king online. We want people to be able to help us do that. We're going to need volunteers for that. And there's been a lot of amazing people in the county that can, you know, as Republicans, that we think can provide that. So that's what we're really trying to become. And so I don't think everybody that was involved in the decision understood all those facets when all they're hearing is office closed. We want another office. We love the idea of having a place to centralize and people can
Yeah, but frankly, you need to have an right. office that is not going to be subject to the dirtbaggy vandalism which the downtown Medford situation has given you, unfortunately. Okay.
Right. And we've been talking about the security issues of that particular office for about a year. We had a security assessment done that, you know, as a meeting place, it's absolutely a disaster. The other night we met at the Prescott room at the Medford Police Department. We felt pretty secure.
Oh yeah! In fact, I have to tell you, if I'm wanting to put on an event, a lot of times how much does that cost? You know, what does it cost to meet and rent that room?
Free.
I don't think I have to tell you. Yeah. I think I would much rather meet at the Prescott building or the Medford Police than I would be over at the library having to sidestep the homeless and the foot washing going on.
Yeah, there was still someone camped right across the street at the front, the bench there in front of the Medford Water Commission. When we walked out, there was someone camped there. But a friend of ours works for the Medford Police Department. She actually saw us as we were leaving and texted my wife and let her know, hey, I just saw you guys. So, I mean, we felt like at least if something did happen, we...
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what here, Darren. Yeah. I appreciate hearing from it. I'm glad to hear. I understand wanting to take that money and open a better web portal so you're able to do what Francine was talking about. I think that's very smart. And I think it's also very smart at this time for the Jackson County Republican women to supposedly keep that bricks and mortar open for a while longer until you get that longer-term plan in place. Okay? I think both are good.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay?
We wanted both. If both are going to exist, I don't see how anybody loses.
All right. Good plan. Thanks for sharing the thought process, okay? Take care, Darren.
All right. Thanks, Bill.
All right. Bye. Good job on that. That's actually good news. I'm glad to hear that. And if they're going to go into that digital marketing and working that harder, I think that's smart. It's much better. And if we can spread the good word better, I'm all for that. This is the Bill Myers Show.